Thank you, everyone. And those were very interesting presentations. A disclaimer at the very beginning is that my topic does not directly focus on adverse childhood experiences. But I guess that whenever we talk about depression and things like that in adult life, somewhere adverse childhood experiences lurks behind. So I am Soumyadeep Mukherjee, as she said. And this is a work that I did in collaboration with my fellow PhD students, Didit Pierre Victor and Rayet Behela, and Dr. Mary Jo Trepka, who is also my major professor. And I have no relationships to disclose. The outline of my presentation would be a very brief background on antenatal depression, followed by motivations behind doing this systematic review and its objectives. Then I would like to briefly go over the methods for the review, followed by the results, which include a summary of the studies, the prevalence and distribution of antenatal depression, and lastly, the conclusions and our recommendations. So to begin with, a brief background on antenatal depression. One of the things that is very well known and is gradually being recognized is that pregnancy is not necessarily going to be a very happy time for all women. It can be a happy time, but it does not have to be. So, and increasingly even the media is recognizing this. So in June 2014, very recently, the New York Times carried a series of articles, The Mother's Mind, and they described the experiences of some women who had antenatal and postnatal postpartum depression. For example, one of these is Emily, who was 23 years old, and she had a very smooth and joyous first pregnancy. Although she did not have the support of her husband, he was deployed in Iraq throughout her first pregnancy. However, when she became pregnant with Benjamin, her second kid, she felt like her body had been invaded. Now, one of the important points regarding this pregnancy was that her second pregnancy was unexpected. So she was using a contraceptive and yet she got pregnant. So that is something to keep in mind, and that depression persisted throughout her pregnancy and even continued during her postpartum. It gradually became a little bit better with treatment and counseling after 6 months after her childbirth. The second one that I am going to describe is the experiences of an Irish author. It was published in The Guardian. Her name is Claire Kilroy. And I will just point out a few things which are actually the symptoms of depression in many ways. Became too aimless to do anything. So she says you go in a room not knowing what to do, why she came in, and she would again come out. And then she had a sense of a black figure towering over her, and she confessed to her husband, Alan, that she did not experience a single positive thought about her baby, and she felt guilty about that. Luckily for her, once she saw her baby in a scan, it changed for the better, but she ends with a warning to herself and also to the readers that that figure in black is likely to return in a more familiar role of postnatal depression. So actually a study published by Wissner and colleagues in JAMA Psychiatry found that nearly more than one-third of women who experience postpartum depression also experience depression during their pregnancy. A few quick facts and figures, nearly 10 to 33% of pregnant women in the world have mental health problems, of which depression is the most common. In the United States, 13 to 20% of pregnant women experience depressive symptoms. There are some unique challenges to depression during pregnancy, and one of them is the concern about safety of antidepressants. So they are usually not prescribed, and people who are taking them, women who are taking antidepressants, may have to be discontinued. So that can lead to a risk of relapse. And another major problem is a lot of the symptoms of a normal pregnancy and depression overlap. For example, changes in appetite, disturbances in sleep, emotional disturbances are common during both, which leads to delayed healthcare seeking and a lot of underdiagnosis. There are a lot of consequences, and at least may not be causally proved always, but it has been, there has been a lot of links. with a lot of maternal and fetal consequences, ranging from gestational hypertension to abortions, high-risk behavior in suicides, it is obvious, increased necessity of epidural anesthesia and operative deliveries, preterm delivery and low birth weight, and decrease in breastfeeding initiation and postpartum depression. So why did I want to do this review? One of the things that came to my attention when I was doing the literature review and things like that is that when we talk about depression in the general population, usually non-Hispanic blacks and Hispanics have a higher prevalence compared to non-Hispanic whites. It is also known that various outcomes of pregnancy, such as preterm birth and low birth weight, are more prevalent in non-whites compared to the whites. Now, this is usually ascribed to various factors like lack of access to antenatal care, low socioeconomic status, and things like that. But some researchers suggest that even all those factors cannot explain the entire disparity in preterm birth and low birth weight. And it could be that maternal mental health is that missing piece, that disparities in maternal mental health could account for some of those racial and ethnic disparities in outcomes. But to talk more on that, we need evidence on racial and ethnic disparities in maternal mental health during pregnancy. And what I found was that there are no conclusive evidence regarding racial and ethnic disparities of depression among pregnant women, and there are some conflicting evidences. So we thought that why not try to summarize the literature in a systematic manner in the form of a systematic review, which is precisely the aim of doing this. And another of my aim was to see if the risk factors of antenatal depression vary by racial and ethnic groups, if some risk factors are more common in some groups. The methods, with those aims, we started doing a systematic review. We conducted an electronic search of all published articles till October 2014 using the following keywords. The databases that we searched are PubMed, CINAHL+, and PsycINFO. Initially, we screened all the titles and the abstracts, and if it seemed that an article might provide any information on maternal mental health during maternal mental health during pregnancy or after childbirth, we included that article in the initial screening. And if we were not sure or not 100% certain, we still included it. I mean, the initial search was very sensitive, but it was very less specific. So if we had doubt, we included it. And of those articles, we retrieved their full texts and assessed them for eligibility based on the following criteria. So they had all to be research articles published in peer-reviewed journals. It had to be conducted among pregnant women or among women who have recently had childbirth and it had to have questions pertaining to their most recent pregnancy. Of course, it had to be conducted in the United States and had to provide data on the prevalence of depressive symptoms. It could be physician diagnosed, self-reported, or measured by any instrument. And it describes the racial and ethnic distribution of depression. Of those, the studies that are excluded were if full text could not be obtained or they were not in English. Case studies and systematic reviews were excluded if all study participants were of a single race or ethnicity, and if all the participants were depressed at baseline or had a history of depression. Next, we assessed the quality of the studies that were found eligible using the one of the many criteria that are out there. So these are the criteria. There were 14 of them concerning the question, the design of the study, the results, the conclusions, and all of that. And each criteria had options of yes, partial, no, and not applicable. So based on the total sum and total possible sum, a summary score was calculated, which ranged from 0 to 1. So the results of the search strategy, to briefly go over, more than 2,900 records were obtained through initial database searching, of which 2,400 were screened after removal of duplicates. A large number were excluded because of the reasons that are listed here, and 109 were shortlisted. We could retrieve the full texts of 93 articles and reviewed them for eligibility. Again, a lot of the articles were excluded in the next stage, and ultimately we included 39 in the review. Regarding the articles, of the 39, there were few which were based on the same sample. All of the articles were published from 1995 to 2014. The sample sizes were varied widely, ranging from 56 to more than 19,000. Two of the studies only focused on pregnant smokers, and most of them used convenience samples. And most regarding the designs, most of the studies were cross-sectional, a few prospective cohort, and only two randomized control trials. They were conducted in the following in the states listed here. The highest number of studies were done in the states of North Carolina and Michigan. Only one study used nationwide data from NHANCE. The scores of the studies using the criteria just described ranged from 0.68 to 0.96. Mostly were conducted in urban and suburban areas in clinical settings, and some of them also used medical records to answer the questions. Few studies focus specifically on low-income inner-city women and minority women. Various instruments are used, but the CESD was the most common. The PHQ, the EPDS, BDI, and these are the other instruments that were used, and some of the studies use their own instruments. Most of the studies using a cutoff point categorize the participants as depressed versus non-depressed, while some of them describe their mean and standard deviation of scores. On an average, the prevalence ranged from 10% to 30%. However, there were some exceptions. For example, one study found prevalence of only 5.1%. But what is alarming is that one study found a prevalence of 51%. That is, more than one out of every two women experienced antenatal depression. The point to be noted here is that this study included only minority women, Hispanic and African American women. More on the racial and ethnic distribution, usually the studies found a higher prevalence among Hispanics and non-Hispanic blacks compared to non-Hispanic whites. Some of the studies also found that blacks and Hispanics had up to 5 and 2-fold increased odds of antenatal depression compared to whites. These are the ranges of prevalence among the three main races. As you can see here, the prevalence among non-Hispanic blacks in particular is on the higher side compared to the others. Very few studies looked at Asians or Native Americans, and I think one or two they found that there was a higher odds among Asians. However, few studies were exception to this general trend. For example, one study conducted among low-income women in Missouri found that there was a higher prevalence among Caucasians than African Americans, although this difference was not statistically significant. In some of the cases, the differences that we discussed before are no longer significant after adjusting for the covariates. Few studies found that, contrary to the usual trend, the antenatal depression had a lower prevalence among the Hispanics compared to non-Hispanic whites. So to conclude, we found that different instruments were used with different cutoffs. Most of the studies were clinic-based in urban areas. The prevalence varied widely, and the prevalence is higher among minorities, including African Americans and Hispanics. One of the things that was lacking is the attempts to examine the risk factors by race or ethnicity. So usually most studies treat race or ethnicity as a covariate and adjust for it, but very few actually attempted to look at each racial and ethnic group separately. So based on these, some of our recommendations are we need more population-based studies. We need more studies focusing on American Indians and Asian Americans or Pacific Islanders. More studies need to be conducted in rural areas in different parts of the country. And as I said, instead of having race or ethnicity as a covariate, it may be interesting to stratify and examine how the correlates vary by race. And finally, it would be really great if nationwide surveys like PRAMS, which is the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, include questions on antenatal depression. Presently, they have questions on postpartum depression, but antenatal depression is not included for all the states. This is just the list of all the 39 eligible studies. Thank you. I am happy to take questions at the end. This is my contact information. Thank you.